So quick overview on representations and warranties insurance. So this is really intended to insure the representations and warranties that the seller is making to a buyer. Two types of policies can be placed. The first and most common is what is referred to as a buy-side policy. That policy insures the buyer in the transaction against loss that would result from a breach of a rep or warranty. It allows for the seller to effectively exit the transaction with minimal, if any, indemnity obligations. And it gives a buyer an insurance contract that allows for it to make a recovery claim. And the policy, which we'll talk about in a second, is generally much broader in scope and in protection than what's traditionally negotiated from a seller. In certain unique transactions, you may have a buyer who insists on a holdback from a seller. So the buyer says, we're going to do M&A the way we've always done it, and we want you, seller, to put 10% of purchase price into an escrow account for 18 months to satisfy the breach of a rep or warranty. In certain situations, we typically find it with sales of assets or businesses by founders, where you've got several joint and holder shareholders. You can put in what's called a sell-side policy. And basically, that's a policy that the buyer is not aware of in the transaction. The seller puts it in place to effectively protect its escrow. So in the event, 6 months later, the buyer asserts a claim against the seller for the breach of a rep and is ultimately going to recover from the seller is able to effectively reimburse itself through the proceeds from an insurance policy. In terms of coverage amounts, you know, we can insure a transaction for as small as $3 million. Those are a little bit more challenging and costly, but you can procure a limit of insurance as little as $3 million. And then on the upper end of the spectrum, we've put together towers of approximately $1.5 billion of coverage. So really the ability is there to insure just about any size transaction. Pricing for the policies typically falls somewhere between 2 to 4% of the limit or the amount of coverage procured. So if you take a $100 million transaction where the seller would typically be asked to put $10 million or 10% of purchase price into an escrow account, if we replace that $10 million escrow with a $10 million policy, it's going to price out somewhere around $300,000. These policies also typically have a deductible or retention that has to be met before the policy kicks in. It's an aggregate retention, meaning that it's eroded for every dollar of loss that an insured party incurs. And those deductibles are typically about 1%, and they'll typically have a step down after approximately 1 year. In terms of policy period, this is one of the differentiations between what you traditionally would negotiate from a seller. The policies are typically going to insure a buyer for 3 years for all non-fundamental reps and warranties, and 6 years for fundamental reps and warranties. So, you know, typically a much longer survival period than what can be negotiated from a seller. So I think one of the really interesting trends that we're seeing, and for those of you who may be in the investment banking world, this won't be new to you, but we're seeing sellers basically implement this construct into their purchase agreement at the beginning of an auction process. So you're company A, you're going to sell off a carve-out gas power plant, you're going to engage, you know, investment bank X to run that process. We'll actually be engaged by the bank and the client to preemptively go out to our markets to obtain indications for pricing and coverage for that transaction. And the auction draft PSA will effectively provide that the indemnification obligation from the seller is minimal, if any, and the sellers will tell buyers that to be competitive, we would look for you to honor this construct. They'll essentially staple coverage terms from a policy to the purchase agreement, and then bidders are, of course, free to honor that construct or to strike through that indemnity provision and say, no, we would prefer, in fact, a holdback. I think the reason we're seeing more and more sellers implementing this in the energy space from the outset is that it tends to lead to the desired outcome. So if you've got a competitive process, buyers are typically willing to implement that construct. And it also, quite frankly, helps to defer the cost to the buyer. Because if you're raising this at the LOI stage, or it's you've already signed an LOI and now you're looking to add additional transaction expenses, it becomes more of a negotiation of who's going to bear that cost. But by telling buyers up front, look, this is an additional $300,000 cost, you can factor that into your bid, or you don't have to, but we're going to look at everybody's bid on an apples-to-apples basis, and we're going to go with the best fit. We have found that it has led to buyers bearing more of the costs more often than not. So I think for the sellers, you know, the big advantage is, quite frankly, is a clean exit, right? It's the ability to walk away from a transaction without the concern of a buyer potentially coming after you for something that may or may not be a breach of a rep. But for the litigators in the room, I'm sure you've had experiences where a buyer does make a claim against the seller for something that, quite frankly, doesn't look like it's a real claim, but you may be held up in dispute resolution for, you know, quite a long time, looking to ultimately determine when that escrow can be released. From a buy-side perspective, I think there's a couple of key interesting points that we find from our clients as to what the usefulness of the tool has been. I think one of the first ones is that it typically is affording broader protection. So in addition to having a longer survival period, in addition to being able to really insure up to any limit that you want, right, you can insure 20% of purchase price or something higher, the policy is also going to disregard most limitations and qualifiers in a PSA. So if you've got representations that are qualified by materiality, or you've got indemnity baskets or caps that are being instituted by the seller, the reps and warranties policy will generally disregard those. So what that means is you're able to make a claim under the policy for any amount of loss, and you're able to determine if a rep has been breached and to calculate any loss resulting from that breach with disregarding all materiality qualifiers.